You have power. The power to save lives. The power to defeat illnesses. The power to use games for good. You can be a hero for local sick and injured kids through Extra Life, a 24-hour gaming marathon that supports a local Children's Miracle Network hospital in your community. Join 50,000 gamers from all across the world as we battle the enemy illnesses and injuries facing local kids.
Play games, heal kids.
Find out more at extra-life.org.
Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of, you know what's really scary is when you put the NES cartridge in and you press down and then you hit the power button and it flashes. But then you take it out and you blow in the cartridge, you put it back, and then it still flashes. But the third time. Welcome to the gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad. By the way, you don't need to actually push down on the NES, the front loader. Actually, you never had to. It was just something they told us to do. Now your mind has been blown. Big thank you to
much
our sponsors.
Much like the cartridges.
Much like the cartridges. But we're not here to blow them. But let's talk about our sponsors. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything Geek Chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, send it back with a postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Gentlemen, the month has arrived. We will be playing video games for 24 hours in a mere number of weeks. It is Extra Lifetime.
It's coming quick.
It is.
It is coming quick. If you go to extra-life.org, you can look up the Geek Cave Podcast, or if you go to geekcavepodcast.com, you can find it there. You can find the link, and you can find all of our prizes, including one that we just added.
Yesterday, right?
After the gaming segment. So first, a little bit of housekeeping. They help 170 hospitals, this annual effort does. Thousands of gamers across the nation, across the world, people in Canada, people overseas, young, old, adults, kids, you name it, are all participating to raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals near you, helping with charitable care, helping with research, or maybe just funding like a little cart with some games on it. So when the kids are in the waiting room and they're thinking about treatment, they have a few minutes to not think about the scary situation they're in, and instead, they have a few minutes to be kids. You can find the hospitals we're playing for, and you can find all those details. Again, geekcavepodcast.com. Click on the Extra Life button. Donate now and get in on all the drawings, because October 27th and 28th is when our marathon is going to be taking place. That includes Geek Cave Live on the night of October 27th. Some of the prizes include... a donation of $250 or more will get you to choose a movie for us to review in the Watch What podcast series, which has been quite popular.
We'll all watch it. We'll corral everyone.
All of us. Or you could win a controller skin of your choice from Decal Girl, the folks there who do really good controller skins. You could get a copy of Jurassic League number 1, autographed by artist Juan Gedeon.
And big
thank you to Paul Graves for sending that in for us to have as a prize. You could win a t-shirt of your choice from Shirtosaurus. You can win a 3-month Gamefly gift certificate. You can win a digital download code for Moonlighter on PC.
Oh, you like that one.
That's a fun game where by day you run a shop and by night you go fight monsters in a cave so you can have items for your shop. It's got a very Zelda Super Nintendo aesthetic to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a choice of a digital download of the Batman, the 2022 film, or the Super Mario Brothers movie, or Superman and Lois Season 2 Winner's Choice.
Nice.
And finally, a physical copy of Metroid Prime Remastered for the Nintendo Switch.
You can't get those.
Those are really hard to find, especially because Nintendo's gonna Nintendo and limited edition everything just by sake of it. So physical copy of that. And again, all the details, donation links, and more are at geektapepodcast.com. And at the very least, if you can't donate, heck, $5 helps. A buck helps. But if you can't donate, we understand. Please pass it along. Share the word. And you can also find the link in the podcast description. So you don't even have to look very far to find it. So, all right, Chad.
Check it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
In all of video gaming, there is nothing stranger to me than the visual novel. Okay. Walking simulators have gameplay to them. Visual novels, however, leave me yearning for the old paperback Wizards and Warriors Choose Your Own Adventure books I read.
I had the Batman one of those.
I was reminded of this during this past week when I played the demo for Kitten Gumi, the Sakabato Thief. Yeah, the Kitten Gumi. The Kitten Gumi were charged with keeping the peace until their treasure was stolen. Now it's up to the player to navigate the various split paths in order to retrieve it, or not. Artwork is nice, which is good, because it's just a bunch of still images. By this point, full motion, come on, it ought to be the norm if we're getting a visual novel. You know, the CDO had full motion. At least one scene in Plumbers Don't Wear Ties was full motion. By the way, that was re-released here in September. You can now play it on the Switch.
Yay!
Get that on Gamefly. I want to know what your your review will be of.
I'll add it to the list.
Because it is one of the worst reviewed games in the history of gaming, is Plumbers Don't Wear Ties.
Oh, it's so bad.
Anyway, this demo tries to be clever, but it comes off as smug. The character models are nice. There's enough difference in them to be interesting. And of particular interest to me was the panda that thinks he's a cat, just a very big, very strong one.
Sure.
I played for about 15 minutes, and the game got a ton better after I got into the options screen and made the text speed as fast as it would go and got rid of the text sound effects that sounded like guns.
Oh.
And so it was like a really violent typewriter. For somebody who had only just learned touch typing when I started playing. Hello.
Oh, gosh.
Welcome. Oh, God. God. No. So, it's bad. It's boring, which is worse. I didn't like it. If you want to choose your own adventure novel, that's fine. I like them. Go to your library. They have them there. If you want pretty pictures, don't worry. The library has books with those in them, too. This story, it might be great, but I'ma wait till they put this game on paper. Not even the demo.
All right. Wow. Yeah, which someone get some aloe for that game. Because it got burned. Justin.
Yo.
What have you been up to? That was bad. I'm sorry. What have you been up to on the internet lately?
Looking up better jokes for you, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did the corn say when all of her clothes fell off?
What?
Aw, shucks. See, because shucks are with
See, that was funny. You could learn a thing or two from Chad, Darren. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm not denying that. I'm not denying that. But we're not here to talk about him right now. We're here to talk about you. What have you been up to?
Well, several things, at least in terms of the gaming segment. I have been going through Reddit's Ask Games because, I have a lot of gaming knowledge that I think is useful to the casual gamer. And so I go through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think deserve a definitive answer in a little segment I like to call
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
So this month's question is, rock or cod? Now, while rockfish and codfish are similar, there are some differences. Rockfish have higher vitamin D, higher potassium, lower magnesium, but cod are easier to catch. Rockfish like to hide in the little crevices and whatever. Cod are just, you know, they're everywhere.
Okay, I'm assuming cod is Call of Duty, but I don't know what rock is.
I don't know. It was capital R, little O, capital K, I think. Rock.
Nope, I liked your answer better. All right, cool. Thank you, Justin.
So, yeah.
Rise of Kingdoms versus Call of Dragons?
Or Call of Duty. COD. Rise of Kingdoms. I've never... Someone put that on the list. All right. What else you got?
Huh. It's one game.
Oh. MMOI... Okay, callofdragons.net. Huh. Interesting.
Oh, so Rise of Kingdoms versus Call of Dragons is the name of the game.
Well, I choose Dragons.
I think we just broke Darren.
I choose Dragons.
Take that game off the list.
Sorry, what else you got?
Speaking of games you should take off the list, I got another game from Gamefly.
Oh, okay.
This one appealed to my sense of nostalgia, and I should have known better, but what the heck. I got a copy of Bill and Ted's Excellent Retro Collection.
Oh, my God, man.
Oh.
Which is a repackaging of the NES game
and
the Game Boy game.
Oh, brother.
Just because you can do something, it doesn't mean you should do something.
Yeah, I learned that because both are shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would rather play the Back to the Future NES game.
Oh.
Right. Know, I got distracted. I saw Bill and Ted. They had George Carlin on the box.
No, it was
just, you know.
I get it.
I understand. I'm just saying.
Okay, knee jerk. Which is worse, Back to the Future NES or Silver Surfer on the NES?
Silver Surfer on the NES was just mind-bogglingly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no story that you were expecting to get.
Right, whereas Back to the Future
Future, you were expecting a story. You didn't even have Marty in it, practically.
Well, the fun thing, both are LJN, I believe, so.
Well, LJN makes crap. That's what they do.
Did. They're dead now.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they dude.
That's what they dude.
Well, Justin, I'm sorry that you had bad experiences there, but thank you for taking one for the team. With another shallow save file. Must have been pretty shallow. How long did you play it?
Approximately about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And that was
right pretty shallow.
That was both games. Not individually
that
total.
That seems fine. That seems fair.
If you're going to dip your toes into LJN, go for their Bible games.
Oh my gosh. By the way.
Wonder Tree stuff, yeah.
The Game Boy game was slightly better than the NES game.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. It was very confusing.
I'm sorry. You need to go pick up the Cowabunga collection. I think you'd like that more.
I have it.
Okay. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, I know. That was a palate cleanser.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, got a couple of reviews before we get to some unpleasant business. So, for starters, two really good games came out recently. We've been eating well for modern gamers because... Sea of Stars, and Starfield. Both hit. So let's talk about Sea of Stars first, because I've finished it, whereas Starfield I'm still working through. So Sea of Stars is like a retro-inspired turn-based RPG, and before you turn your brain off, let me just say this. Normally, when I'm playing a turn-based RPG, there gets to a point where the combat is boring, and you're just like, I'm done with this. I'm so tired.
Mm-hmm.
They added little elements from like Super Mario RPG and Chrono Trigger where there's timing involved on offense and defense, and it's just enough where not once did I ever go, another fight, you know? So it's very Chrono Trigger meets Mario RPG. The music is incredibly charming. It's a tale of these two characters. You pick one right at the beginning.
Patrick
either
and SpongeBob.
No.
Sea of Starfish.
Either a male or a female. They're solstice warriors. One can control the moon. One can control the sun. There are puzzles where you have to fast forward time make time go backwards. There's a whole bunch of different like little environmental puzzles and stuff like that. Nothing that was too hard. Stuff that makes you think for a little bit, but it broke up the combat and all that stuff. Story's pretty good. The characters are all charming. The only part I really didn't like was there was a mini game called Wheels, which you play in taverns in the game, and I don't know how it works. And I think I won one, but again, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But the main storyline, it hits some of the familiar tropes. Oh, we've got these two characters that we look up to, and they're going to train us in the ways of insert magic mumbo jumbo here. And oh no, turns out that their inevitable betrayal has happened, and now we have to stop them from destroying the world, and yada yada yada. There's a well-meaning friend who goes along with you. Oh yeah, that well-meaning friend is totally going to live forever. Wink, wink. You know, that kind of stuff.
No, Boblin!
But the sad thing is, like, all of the characters
Boblin!
The characters are well-written. None of them really got on my nerves. I really enjoyed the writing. It's from the same people who did The Messenger, which was like a Ninja Gaiden kind of clone on the Switch. And just to give you an example of some of the writing, there was a point about halfway through the game where I entered a bar that the patrons referred to as "Welcome to the First Stage of Grief." And everyone you speak to is in complete denial of whatever their situation is in. You know, little stuff like, oh, you're going to save the world? Well, I'm sure that'll happen. And, you know, like, oh, yeah, I can leave anytime I want. And I've only had one. Stuff like that, you know?
Gotcha.
It's a really clever moment. And, you know, that kind of happens throughout. There's another point where you fight a necromancer and you beat her. You're not trying to kill her or anything. You're like, look, we want that soul stone so we can resurrect our friend. So can we have it now? And she's like, so let me get this straight. You come into my home uninvited. You do untold amounts of property damage. You get into a fight with me. And now you want me to just give you the rock that is on my take the stupid rock, you know? So I enjoyed it greatly. Sea of Stars, not going to be in my contention for game of the year, but very, very good. And I don't regret a single bit of the 30 hours that I put into it.
Nice.
Very good.
All right.
Now let's talk about Starfield.
Well, it is one of those games.
Oh, my gosh. It is, in both the best and worst ways, a Bethesda game.
I fully expected you to come in here and say, so did you play anything else by Bethesda? Imagine that. In space!
Yes and no.
Oh, wow. I'm looking forward to the no.
Well, see, if you go into this game expecting the same kind of glitches and bugs and tomfoolery that you would get in a Fallout or a Skyrim,
right?
Congratulations, you're going to get that. There was one point where I was trying to talk to someone to persuade them to like not shoot me and my party. And my follower, my partner, just jetpacks in between the two of us and right off a cliff during the conversation.
Did it kill her?
Yeah. But it's like, what do you do?
Boring conversation anyway. No, I get it. You do the work, you get paid. Best for everyone.
I mean, there have been some other weird glitches. There was one point where my head disappeared. The rest of my body was there, but my head was not. But my hat was there.
I've known people like that.
Ooh, scary.
I'm playing a space cowboy, right? So I've got like a cowboy hat. So the cowboy hat's just floating above where my head was.
Saber rider.
But the writing is extremely clever. There was one point where, you know, you're doing a lot of hopping from planet to planet. You're in space. I come out of warp. Sorry. Grav jumping. It's warp.
Right. Gotcha.
And, I am stopped by a random hail from a nearby ship, and I open the hailing frequency, and, excuse me, sir, we have been trying to reach you about your extended warranty.
Oh, no.
And this conversation tree goes several different directions, where I can choose to buy the warranty, or upgrade to the premium warranty, or I can call them out on a scam, or I can open fire. And you know what? I had different save files made, so I could see where each one went.
Yes. What's ideal?
You open fire, because otherwise you're just going to lose a whole bunch of money and they're going to grab jump away as soon as you say okay. But like, they even like went to the trouble of having this voice actor give you the legalese for like every possible, you know, infraction of the warranty. Like, if you have damage, you must submit it to a like a licensed repair person. You must have like 8 copies of this in triplicate, yada 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 yada, just on and on and on. And I'm like, this is fascinating. But then, like, the next time I loaded the save, I just opened fire. And he grab jumped away, and I never saw him again. There was another random encounter where I come across a husband and wife arguing because they are lost in space. And they're asking me for directions. And so, yeah, I did multiple save files. If you side with the husband, he's like, look at that! Look at that! A man finally won one! If you go with the wife, she just rubs it in his face. And if you say, I actually don't know which direction I myself am lost, they will offer to accompany you until you get to where you're going. Little moments like that that make this whole thing feel alive, which is okay. Good, because they have one model for every single child. It is the same little girl, the same little girl head, and the same skin tone, but I'm somehow supposed to know the difference between Cora and Mariah and Sona and whoever the hell you are, and so on and so forth. Again, the little Bethesda stuff starts popping up. But, you know, the gunplay is great. I've gotten to a point where there is a huge, huge twist in the campaign. And we've heard before launch where, oh, it really opens up after you finish the main quest after about 40 or whatever hours. And I get it now. And they're right. And I'm going to ask you guys, do you want to hear the spoiler?
Of course I do.
Sure.
All right, audience.
It's on Xbox. I don't get to play it.
Audience, I am going to need you to jump forward 2 minutes. And we will be done with the spoiler talk, starting now. So at the end of the campaign, you've been dealing with these enemies called Starborns. And you finally find out what one of them looks like. It's you, from an alternate timeline. You finish the game. There's a portal in front of you. If you go through that portal, you're starting the game over in an alternate timeline where all of the artifacts, the magic artifacts you've collected, are now in different locations. And all of the characters you've interacted with, you can interact with them again, but they don't know who you are, and they will have entirely different personalities. With each playthrough, it gets randomized again, and the personalities get randomized again. And you...
All the kids continue to look alike.
All the kids still look like that one little girl. But you end up with this infinite possibility cycle of like, you know, all right, on this jump, I'm just going to be like a space pirate and a notorious bastard. But on the next one, you know, I'm going to know about what the space pirate me did so I can go stop space pirate me and I can get that loot. And then I can become like the mayor of this city. But then the next loop, I'm a cop who knows that mayor me was corrupt. And so I'm going to stop that guy. And it just balloons out from there. It is remarkable. The scope that they went to on this. So
is the first playthrough consistent across everybody's experience?
I think so.
Would be fantastic if. Like, there's no walkthrough.
I think so. Yeah. I've heard that, like, there's the first playthrough is consistent, but then after that, all of the artifacts get switched up and all that stuff. So, but yeah, that's spoiler talk officially over. So, yes, when you hear them say it picks up after the main story is complete, I was a bit of a doubter, but oh no. No, they're right. So,
right on.
Starfield, I'm in my second run, and Starfield is in my top 3 for Game of the Year.
Okay. Wow.
So, well, we've done the tops. Now it's time for something else. Kent?
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary. Or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
You know, you remember that scene in RoboCop where...
One, two, three, or the series?
The first one. The first one.
Okay.
Where Alex Murphy is gunned down in a horrible, horrific scene.
Yes.
Biggest plot twist of my young life.
Yeah.
He was the hero.
Yeah.
Supposed to be, anyway.
His hand explodes. He's turned into ground meat, right? He's dead. But because of corporatization, he couldn't even have a day off work. He's back the next day, right?
RoboCop is the ideal capitalist wage slave.
Well, it's also one of the shittiest games I've played. Because let's talk about RoboCop for the NES.
Oh, no. It can't be the shittiest.
No, I said it's one of. I didn't say it was the shittiest.
I was going to say, it at least works.
Yeah, yeah. There's some pros here, but like it's a lot more downers than there are uppers.
All right.
So, yeah, this game was super popular when RoboCop hit the NES, coming out in the late 80s. On home computers alone, it sold over 1 million copies worldwide.
Wow.
You know? It was especially successful in the United Kingdom, where it was the best-selling home computer game of the 80s. On the NES, it garnered pretty favorable reviews because we didn't know any better. So RoboCop starts with this theme song on the NES that, unless your volume is set to 2, it will destroy your eardrums. It's just... cartridge in, power on, and then... And so after you've had a heart attack and you decide to start the game, you find that RoboCop is a beat-em-up slash shoot-em-up made by Data East, the people behind Bad Dudes.
Okay. Bad Dudes.
And the other than the theme song, the music is pretty good. Honestly, it's probably the best part of the game.
Yeah.
Because the theme's there and... You know, it's just the one RoboCop theme, but that's a good theme. That's a really good theme. You walk from left to right, slowly punching guys, slowly.
Well, he didn't move fast till he got the jetpack.
I don't want to talk about the jetpack. But, you know, it's basically you go left to right, you punch guys. Occasionally, RoboCop will get his gun out and shoot guys. I don't know why he didn't just start with that on default.
There's only so many bullets.
It's an infinite clip in the game. But, like, he starts off, walk left to right, punch. Oh, no, there are stairs. If you've seen the Geek Cave plays on this, you know how I feel about the stairs in the RoboCop game.
You did not like them.
Yes, you can't climb them. Oh, you can climb. You can get up there eventually, but then you can't get back down because RoboCop know what down mean. You know? I'm hitting the down button. I'm hitting it. Nothing's happening. Go a little bit to the left. That doesn't work. A little bit to the right. No. Moonwalk down the stairs. Yes. I don't think that was the intent. You punch punks. You punch dogs. You shoot dogs. They make this little whimper sound that made me feel really bad. Second level. It's this part of the movie where the mayor is being held hostage, right? So you go through. Second level's a maze. They don't tell you what direction you're supposed to be going in. You just wander in and out of doors until you find it. You punch your way through the wall, yada yada yada. So the mayor is got, there's this guy behind him, he's got a gun to his head, and I love the mayor. If you accidentally shoot the mayor, he screams, "Oh no!" And then like the boss fight keeps going, but you lose health. You know, so you have to wait for the mayor to duck and then you shoot the bad guy. And after about 3 times, then the bad guy just lets go of the mayor so he can fight you a little bit more mobily. But honestly, as a kid, I never got past that because I thought it was so funny that you shoot, "Oh no!" And then eventually you die. Later on, you have to fight Ed 209. It is the most unfair fight in the whole game because I don't know if you know this about Ed 209, but that's a big goddamn robot. And it somehow is a lot faster than RoboCop is. So when you get cornered, that's kind of it. But the controls are sluggish. The difficulty is super hard once you get past the second level. It's very repetitive in nature. One of the most fun parts is they have little cutscenes in between the levels. And sometimes RoboCop is talking and his lips just me. While the caption, you know, just like the mouth open, just like the bottom lip moving and nothing else on the screen. Just kind of thing. So, no, it's not the worst game I've played this year for this segment, which is the year of the NES. But man, oh man, do I wish it hadn't come up in the list.
So really, there's just one question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you buy it for a dollar?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd buy that for a dollar. Kids, if you don't get that joke, it's fine.
Well, you're probably too young for it anyway.
You're probably too young for it anyway. So,
if you don't know what that means, you can't be friends with Darren.
You can be friends with me. It's fine. But just, yeah. RoboCop is a property that is close to my heart for some reason. Because I really liked the first movie.
The first movie is a classic in just about all of the ways.
As a kid, I really latched onto it. RoboCop 2 was all right.
No, it wasn't.
It was better than 3.
Everything was better than 3. The 1960s King Kong versus Godzilla was better than RoboCop 3.
I mean, that's kind of a classic. But, okay. Yeah, but it's one of those properties that has always been interesting to me. RoboCop versus Terminator, RoboCop versus Aliens, whatever you can throw RoboCop in. There's supposed to be a new RoboCop game coming out in November. I hope it's good for dozens of us. I hope it's good. There are tens of us out there who love this property. But, yeah, this one was rough. I mean, I guess it could be worse. Let me look ahead and see what my next... No, it got worse, but it got worse. But we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. Maybe at the end of the year, I'll be like, here are all the good NES games, because I feel bad for crapping on this magical box for the past year. But I digress.
Crapping in this magical box.
Well, be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including Deep Cave Comics, which was yesterday, Deep Cave Movies, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to these when they come out, like you should. There's also You Want Me to Watch What? And the Week 3 podcast, as well as the occasional TLDR. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/DeepCavePodcast for live streams. Also, check out Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel. You can find all of the links to our social media channels at DeepCavePodcast.com. We're on Threads now as well. And in addition, we have been starting to post things to TikTok and getting a lot of response to those. So thank you guys for that. And while you're at our website, join our Discord server. Hang out with our friends and our other listeners. You can chat with us one-on-one. You can share your ideas. Get early access to every new episode. For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Remember, you've earned your time off. Use it. Don't be like Alex Murphy. And remember that everyone is a geek for something.